Ken, Wilma, thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Today is the Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, and both of you have memories of the Pearl Harbor incident. And Ken, you eventually went on to serve in World War II, but each of you kind of talk a little bit about what you remember from that day in 1941.
Well, it was just a day to remember. I don't know, it's quite a shock to us. We heard about it over a battery-powered radio. And it was a cold December day. There wasn't hardly any snow on the ground. Now, go to her.
How old were you at that point?
I was 19.
You were 19. Yeah. And what was the reaction of the community? Were there people crying, I guess, that sort of thing?
No.
No?
I don't think so. I didn't see anybody crying.
Just kind of a stunned?
Yeah, stunned feeling.
And Wilma, what do you remember about that day?
Well, I remember I was in high school at Corning. I remember that they called an assembly, and the principal was there, and he had a speaker from town, an important person. I guess he was a lawyer, and he talked about Pearl Harbor and the damage that was being done. It was a sad time.
Do you guys remember then FDR's radio speech then, too?
Oh, yes. His speech, I remember that. I hate war. Eleanor hates war. We all hate war. No American boy will set foot up on foreign soils unless we are attacked.
My parents, it was a sad time at home when they heard Roosevelt talking about declaration of war, and I had three brothers. My middle brother, Donald, was drafted, and that was sad.
When people think of the draft, I mean, a lot of people think of Vietnam, and they think of, you know, some of the social fighting in the streets about it, fleeing the draft. It was different with World War II, I imagine. It seems like it was a different kind of culture in terms of everyone was ready to line up and do their part.
I drafted, and I knew I had to go, so I just...
There's no question.
Yeah, no question about it.
So where did you go?
I went to Corning, got on a train, steam engine, and they took us up to Camp Dodge. That's when we put on our uniform, looked in the mirror, and didn't recognize ourselves. It's quite a shock.
They make you shave and the hair and everything?
Oh yeah, they just take clippers, you know, and clip your hair off. Give you a butch. I'm sure it almost shaved your head.
Well, and then after that, where did they send you off to?
To Fort Knox, Kentucky. Okay. Armored Force School. Some sad days down there, too. I felt sorry for the fellows that was married and had to be away from them. I wasn't married. I'm kind of glad of it.
Would have been tougher?
Yeah. I'd better get over it.
But you guys did know each other at the time, and I imagine, Wilma, there's a lot of people that I imagine you knew that were being drafted. What was it like here on the American side?
Well, it was a sad time for farm families because the sons did a lot of the farming, and the younger ones did chores. And I remember the night that Don went, we had a big supper, and then we got ready and just left the dishes and went to town because he had to be, I don't remember what time he had to be there, but he had to be there at a certain time to get on the train. We thought, oh, we'll wave now when he'll get to a window. The windows were so dirty that we couldn't see, and I think that was meant to be because we couldn't see him, and he said he couldn't see us later on. But he went to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
Did you eventually then, Ken, go overseas?
Well, the Rommel was giving Patton some trouble over North Africa, and that's where we loaded on a boat at Newport News, Virginia. 15 days later, we were North Africa. Algeria and Tunisia, and I can't think of the other right now. Patton was having it, and Patton finally got him run out of there.
Talk about staying warm in the Battle of the Bulge.
Battle of the Bulge, I'll never go through that again. I'd go to the front of the firing squad for it to go through that. we wasn't equipped to go in there. We had our old leather shoes and our feet. We just couldn't keep them warm. Stand up all night and kick against a tree or something to try to keep them warm. And the C-47 cargo plane dropped us some overshoes. They were goulashes. We put them on over our shoes, and we still couldn't keep our feet warm, so we discarded our shoes and just wrapped our feet in paper, just like the old hobos along the railroad. That's the only way we could keep from freezing our feet. There was a fellow from Minneapolis that they sent a daily paper to him, and sometimes he'd get a month's supply of back issues, and that's what we wrapped our feet in to survive. I couldn't do that again.
You guys were in your 20s by the time the war ended. Not many people that remember the war as vividly are many of them are starting to pass away, and many of them were talking about how few World War II veterans we have left in the country. What do you think should be the message?
Well, I just think it's too bad that the people, Congress and the President, can't get together and talk about coming to a common meeting and bringing peace instead of going to war and losing lots of lives. But I guess that's not the way it's supposed to be. They say wars and rumors of wars, and that's been going on for centuries. And I guess that's the way it's supposed to be. And it's a sad time when a family loses. Well, when he's drafted, that's a sad time.
All right, is there anything else you guys would like to add today?
I had 3 birthdays overseas. I had my 21st birthday in North Africa and my 22nd in the Bocage country, which was hedgerows in Normandy, and my 23rd birthday in Berlin, Germany.
So you stayed there after everything ended to kind of secure the Europe?
The war was over in, April, was it? I think. And it took a long time to get us shifted out to come home.
Well, guys, thanks for sharing your memories with us.